Mariner Books and Harper Audio present Koresh, the true story of David Koresh and the tragedy at Waco, by Stephen Talty. Read by Sean Pratt. For Delphine, my darling girl. Immense sadness everywhere. Immense power. John J. Chapman. Author note. This is a work of nonfiction based on interviews, FBI and 911 transcripts, television and radio transcripts, taped sermons, and published sources. No characters or scenes have been invented. All the dialogue is as recorded or reported to me by people who heard it directly firsthand. This book contains scenes of sexual assault and other forms of violence. Prologue. On Sunday afternoon, March 28, 1993, David Koresh was in a bitter mood. Dressed in a white wife-beater and jeans, he lay on the second floor of the Branch Davidian compound, his back propped against a wall, on the phone with the FBI. They had cut off the electricity, so the dark interior of the building was lit by candles, and quite cold. The phone line snaked out of the compound, across land where FBI snipers studied the compound windows, and connected to a phone at a temporary headquarters a few miles away. There, a team of five negotiators, primary, secondary, technical advisor, note-taker, and team leader, sat in a minimally furnished room, listening and talking. It was exactly 1 month into the siege at Waco, and Koresh felt the FBI was messing with his manhood. They'd invaded his home, scoffed at his Bible teachings, and rutted the land around his home with their tanks. Agents had given him the finger and even pulled down their pants to moon his followers. He was fed up. "You boys are murderers," he said. "You boys are killers. My country has dealt with me and people I love in a way that's not right. What you've done about it is you've disrespected my personage. You've disrespected my religion." The primary tried to calm him. David's mood could turn easily, the FBI had found. At times, he seemed to want to befriend the negotiators, guys mostly in their 30s and 40s. In his drawling voice, he even told them he loved them. David had an old boy charm about him that could work on your mind. He wished he could meet up one day with the FBI agents, he said. Have a beer or two. Maybe they'd ride their motorcycles around Lake Waco. There were times when their talks seemed more like therapy than negotiations. David's mind roamed back to his childhood in the small towns of North Texas, his family life, school days. He talked about what things might have been like if he'd done something differently here or there. Maybe he could have been a true blue American hero, like the FBI's own Elliot Ness. David, if the President of the United States had come to me one day and says, you know, "Mr. Howell, I want you to work with the United States of America. You've been a good citizen. I've seen your report cards. You've been a good citizen, and I want you to work on a tactical force with the FBI. And I want you to help deal with bad guys and everything. And I'd like to give you this position." Across the staticky phone line, his voice was warm. "I would have been so honored and so proud," he went on, "that somebody would have overlooked my apparent bad English and bad history. You know what I mean?" It was moving, in a way. The negotiators knew that David lied about things and made up stories about himself, but there were times when he seemed to lose his defenses, and then he was remarkably human. The negotiators encouraged him. "Who knows," they said, "you might beat the charges. Stranger things have happened. Just come on out, David, and you'll see your life isn't..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?